Well, it's good to be in church today. What a blessing, young people. I think when I was here last time, I mentioned the choir and the singing, and it's good to see everybody under 20 that was up there. It was really a blessing. There was a couple of ring-ins there, but that was a blessing. Well, I assume you're all under 20. I was just saying to my wife, it's good when, obviously, when Laurie and Leanne sang, and then when you come in together, I had massive goosebumps. It was like, it was amazing. So that's a real blessing. And I said to my wife, why can't our teenagers sing like that? So we videoed you. Sorry about that. And I'm gonna play that to our teenagers so they can see that teenagers can sing for the Lord. All right, it can be done. I thought I'd share, some blessings from my ministry as the Lord's allowed me to preach a little bit more. In and around Brisbane, I've done a little bit of preaching. At the end of last year, went up to Tannum Sands to preach up there. That was a blessing. And of late, there seems to be more of an international opportunity to preach. The last 2 months, I've had the opportunity to live stream via Skype into India and preach for some folk there. And Lord willing, next year I'd like to take a trip there and visit. And so if you can pray with me about that, that would be good, that the Lord might open the door, time and funds and so forth to do that. So God really has been blessing, and I appreciate the opportunity to come and preach for you this morning. We read out of Matthew 14 before. Let's go to Mark chapter 4 as well. I want to read a passage there, just a few verses. I've been thinking about these two passages just for a short period of time, and had been writing down thoughts as they come to my mind, just on a bit of paper, and then just this week, I feel like the Lord kind of helped me put something together. So hope it's a blessing for you this morning. So Mark chapter 4, we're going to read from verse 35 to 41. This is another well-known passage from as well as what we read this morning. So Mark 4, starting in verse 35, it says, "And the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow. And they wake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Let's ask the Lord to help us this morning, and we'll pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, for this gathering of your people. Thank you for a church that stands firm on the things of God and the Word of God. We do thank you for what we can learn from your Word, and I pray that as we just have a look at a couple of simple thoughts this morning, that your Word would be a blessing and would speak to hearts. Please just help me. I'm just a vessel. Pray that you just help me to know exactly what to say and how to say it. And I commit the message in the morning to you. Please do with it as you will. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In August of 2015, Hurricane Katrina devastated the Gulf Coast of the US, killing an estimated 1,833 people and costing over $108 billion in damage. It was, from what I read, she was the sixth largest hurricane recorded in overall strength in the Atlantic Ocean. Its power will go down as one of the worst storms in US history. Some of you may remember reading that on the news or seeing that as that unfolded on the news. The enormity and influence of a storm can never be foreseen, and what takes place during the storm can never really be fully known until the storm is hit. You can make predictions with storms as you see them off the coast, especially here in Australia. When we have a cyclone, you see them on the news and they can kind of predict where it's going to go, but they always say, you know, we have to wait till it hits landfall. and the enormity of it. They can gauge it with, I guess, how fast the winds are traveling within the storm. But storms are just those I guess you just can't gauge them accurately. They just have a mind of their own. And with Hurricane Katrina, I was reading it, it seemed to be quite a high storm, and then it seemed to peter out into not much at all. Then it went back out into the ocean, and then it picked up ferocity again, and then it was Category 5, I think it was, and then it hit the coast, and then it devastated, and then it petered out again. But you just couldn't tell what was going to happen with that storm. And storms are like that. And they have and always will be a very regular occurrence. And they can be actually a great source of learning if we let it. The Bible gives at least two occurrences, and they're the two passages that we read this morning, involving the Lord Jesus and storms. And today, I guess I just want to talk about these two particular instances, storms and water, and see if we can learn some lessons that can help us today. Are the two totally separate occasions and two totally separate time periods, but sometimes there are some similarities that we can learn as well. The first part that we read was in Matthew chapter 14, verse 22 to 31, where we see Jesus comes walking on the water amongst a storm that has started to brew. The Bible talks about the winds being contrary. And obviously would have been quite stressful for those there. And then the other one is where we just read in Mark chapter 4, where Jesus is asleep in a boat and the boat becomes full of water. And when they wake Jesus up, he calms the storm. So I just refer to these two things, and I want you to think about, as we've read and as we discuss what's going on, I want you to put yourself in these storms, and as we can consider what you can learn, I guess, for yourself personally. When we think about the two different storms, the first one, Jesus sends his disciples across onto the other side after feeding of the 5,000, and they're doing what they were told to do, and a storm comes up, and Jesus sees what's going on, and he comes to them walking on the water. The first thing I want you to notice is that storms can come even while being in the will of God. Storms can come even while we're in the will of God. You know, I think it's a misconception to think that storms only come because we're doing something wrong within life. So obviously I'm going to make some reference to storms within our life. They, in each passage, they followed the instructions of the Savior. If you're while you're in Mark chapter 4 there, have a look in verse 35 and 36. The Bible says, "In the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships." So Jesus says, "Hey guys, let's go over here. All right, it's now evening and we need to get to the other side." Now they could have said, "Oh, listen, it might be better if we just stay here maybe tonight and we'll go over tomorrow." But they followed the instructions of the Savior. They did what they were asked to do. There was no question about it. It was just, okay, when the multitude was sent away and it was now time to go, when the Savior said go, they went and did that. They were completely in the will of God. They were doing what God had asked them to do. I want you to have a look in that passage in Matthew. So you might want to put a bookmark in there, because we're going to jump backwards and forwards a little bit here. So in Matthew 14, in verse 22, it says, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him onto the other side while he sent the multitude away." So here we have a totally separate instance where the first instance they said, Jesus said to them, why don't we all get into a ship and we're going to go to the other side. In Matthew he says, "Why don't you guys go into a ship, go to the other side, and I'll follow on later." So there were some instructions given and the disciples were completely within the will of God. I want to encourage you that you may be serving the Lord with all your heart here this morning. You may be doing exactly what God wants you to do, but understand sometimes storms may come. And the severity of the storm may not be known, but I want to encourage you that storms will come. Storms can come. Obviously, God, within his foreknowledge, knew about these storms. It didn't take Jesus by surprise that these storms were here. God, knowing all things and allowing all things, he controls the weather. He knew storms were going to be there. He knew exactly where he needed to be to handle these situations. Even within the will of God, storms can come. They don't have to be an evidence of sin or wrongdoing. But let me just maybe answer that, though. Sometimes storms can come if we are doing something wrong, if we do have sin in our life. God may use those storms to convict and challenge and to deal. But we're going to deal here this morning with, if you're doing what's right and storms come, and we can often think, why is this happening? Why are these storms? I'm trying to serve the Lord Jesus with all my heart. I'm now saved, and I know that I was a sinner, and I've trusted Jesus as my Savior. My sins have been forgiven. I'm in church. I'm praying. I'm reading my Bible. I'm trying to be a soul winner. I'm trying to listen. I'm trying to do all the things I know the Bible tells me to do, and yet, why are these storms here? They come because God wants to teach us something. Did you know the Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 4 that we are to expect storms? If you feel like turning there, I'll read that. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12. The Bible teaches us, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you." The Bible says, don't think it's strange that fiery trials. These fiery trials for us are just like storms. Things that come that are going to test us, things that are going to test our resolve. What are we going to do within this storm? Don't think it's strange. It will happen. You know, the Bible also tells us in the next verse, and this is the strange and this is the hard part. The Bible says in verse 13, "But rejoice." Don't think it's strange when these things come, but rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. Wow, the Bible tells us to rejoice. James chapter 1. James chapter 1 and verse 2 says to us, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations." Knowing that these storms are coming, the Bible says we're supposed to expect them. And when they do come, don't panic and freak out, but rejoice. I wonder, as you look at how the disciples reacted, I wonder how you would react. Would you react just like them? Or would you be like, "I'm so glad that I'm in the midst of this boat and the water's just coming in, and wow, what a great place to be. I'm going to rejoice in that." I think as human beings, we have natural tendencies. We have emotions. We have fears. We have struggles. But the Bible does teach us that we are to expect storms. We're to rejoice in the storms, even within the will of God. I guess another thing I think about within these storms, is while being I'm within the will of God, sometimes it seems within a storm that the Lord just seems to be not near anymore. Have you ever faced that? Something's happened, a storm has come by, and you're in the midst of the struggle within life, and you think, "Where is God in all this? I've been praying for an answer in this problem. I've been praying for this situation to stop, and it just seems like God's not there. God doesn't answer my prayer." And we can start to fear in that way. Where is God in all this? And I think when you look at the two passages, in Matthew, Jesus told the disciples to go on the other side while I wait here. It seems like he purposely brought himself out of the situation for a period of time while they went into the storm on their own. And then you have a look in Mark. Jesus was there in the boat, but he wasn't. The Bible says that he was asleep, which to me is a mystery how that could physically be. But hey, Jesus is obviously feels very comfortable with the situation, and the Bible says he's asleep. He wasn't on the shore in this particular instance, but he was within the boat, but he wasn't actively in control of what was going on, or it seemed that way. So two different instances. Sometimes the Lord may want you to do something, and he just wants you to go about and do it, and he might just distance himself just slightly. The Bible teaches us that he'll never leave us nor forsake us, so it's not like we've lost him. Or we've lost our salvation, or he is far from us. But it's just like Jesus just goes kind of a little bit silent sometimes, just for you to have to go through this, not alone, but just for you to learn something. And sometimes Jesus may be very close to us. He may be within that boat, within that storm, and yet he's not actively helping and doing things just at the moment. Again, there's something for us to learn. I wonder if you've ever felt like that, that you feel just all alone within the storm. You're going through something and you think, nobody understands. I've done that myself. You think, surely no one else has faced this problem before. Why is this happening to me only? And where is God in all this? I've prayed and it seems like he's gone silent. But the Bible teaches us that Jesus is never far away. Remember in Mark chapter 4, in verse 35, Jesus said, "Let us pass over unto the other side." Jesus was always there all along. He was in the boat. Let us go. And if anything, if you don't remember anything this morning but this, that when the trials come or the storms come, understand that Jesus says to you, "Let us go through this." You may not see him all the time. You may not see his closeness. But he's promised, let us go over to the other side. Let us walk together. He wants you to be in the storm. And it may look like he's silent, but the Bible teaches us he is always there. I'm glad the Bible teaches us that he will never leave us nor forsake us. What a great blessing. I think this withdrawing of Jesus was purposeful and needful, and it's in those times when it seems like we don't understand why he's not answering. It's at those times we seem to learn the most within the storm. So I guess the first point of these two storms is that the thing that really got me is that they were in the will of God, and yet storms still come. So storms come while being in the will of God. The second thought or point that I want to bring out is that storms come to reveal our weaknesses. Storms come to reveal our weaknesses. And God's intention with everything in our life is to bring about our good, is to show us something, is to teach us something. As you have a look at both particular passages, in each situation, it ended up, Jesus says, "Hey guys, why are you doubting? Why are you fearful? Why didn't you trust?" There were human reactions. I don't know about you, but there have been times where there's a storm. I'm actually going through a storm right now with a situation in my business. And I guess I'll kind of share just a little bit about it and how I reacted to it. I bought a business as a master franchise for a cleaning company just recently. The idea was to provide, obviously, an income for my family, but also to give flexibility to go and preach. And everything is going great. But then one of the franchisees that I brought on invested his money, went through the motions of paying, doing all the legal requirements, and then someone whispered in his ear and said, "These guys are stealing your money. Don't trust them." And then after all cooling off, all legal periods were done, he bought a business and then refused to start and wanted all his money back. And I was put in a predicament. I never received any money myself the way our franchise system and the company got all the money. And then next thing I know, I get a letter from a solicitor, "We're taking you to court." And I'm like, I've just started thinking, and I believe it still is the will of God, that I go through this. And you get a letter, an email saying, "We're going to take you to court. We're going to sue you." And you think, instantly you start to panic. You think, where is God in all this? And within it was like I lifted up my skirt and I started to squeal and, "Oh, what's going on? What's going on?" I panicked. My inner child came out and I thought, "What am I going to do? What am I going to do?" I was now in the midst of a storm within the will of God, serving the Lord, trying to honor him, trying to do the right thing. And all of a sudden, I now look like I'm being sued. And I thought, "Lord, what do I do?" And that fear and that panic set in. But I am thankful for one thing. God, through all this, has allowed, I don't think the man is a Christian, but he's a religious man, knows a lot of Bible, And through this particular man, the Lord started actually quoting scripture to me about how I should handle this. And he's the CEO of the company, a Catholic man. And from what I understand it, he may know Jesus as his Savior. I started quoting King James Bible to me. And I'm like, wow, this is amazing. And started to calm the fears. And I felt like, God, where are you in all this? Why are you allowing me to go through this? And yet God just says, I haven't left you at all. And it was like he said, why did you even doubt? If you believe that this is what I want you to do, why are you fearful? Now, the story hasn't finished. I mean, I can't tell you how it's ended up because it's still in process. But it's a storm. Now, you may not be getting sued, but you may have a loved one that's sick. You may have you may have something that is happening at work. Maybe funds, maybe your job is struggling. Maybe there's no certainty in your work. Maybe you have to move house or whatever it is in your life. I wonder how you react. And it revealed something in me that I thought, wow, here am I preaching, and yet when things come, the inner man just goes to pieces. And God says, why did you doubt? Remember, these were disciples of Jesus. They followed him. They were the guys that were going to turn the world upside down. These were the guys that God was going to use to tell others about what Jesus had done. And here are the ones at the first sign of just physical trouble. Jesus, why are you asleep? Don't you care that we perish? Fear and doubt. And Jesus had to reveal that to them and say, guys, why are you worrying about this? I haven't left. I'm here. And when Jesus, the Bible tells us that he calmed the storm. But it revealed some weaknesses in their lives. And God's good at pointing out things as we're going through things. And I wonder what God is revealing to you right now. As you go through a storm of life, what is God revealing in your life? God reveals through a storm that we need him. I can't go through the storm alone. I just panic and I just grumble and cry. We need him. Through the storm, it helps me keep my eyes focused on the Lord, on what's important. Think about when Peter walked on the water. I'm back in Matthew. While he asked Jesus, if it's really you, please let me come on the water, and he did. And while he was focused on the Lord and trusting God, everything was fine. But the Bible says when he looked at the wind and the waves and everything that was going on, he started to sink. And guys, let me encourage you, while you have your eyes focused on the Lord, you can get through this storm. You can come through the other side. You can do and learn and be whatever God wants you to learn, do and be. When you take your eyes off him and just solely on what's going on, that's when we start the Bible says it refers to, and we start to sink. I don't know if you're sinking today in anything, but whatever it is, make sure you focus upon the Lord Jesus. Look for what Jesus might do. If you can't see Jesus real close, if he's on the shore waiting for the right time, or if he's asleep in your boat, be assured he will do something. He doesn't allow you to go through a storm for no reason at all. He will do something. And I encourage you to look for what he might do. So storms come while being in the will of God. Storms come to reveal our weaknesses. The third thing is storms come to reveal God's power and greatness. Understand, guys, the impossible can happen. The impossible can happen. Once you think about it, Jesus walked on water. Peter walked on water within this storm. Something that you thought physically could not happen. You might see this storm heading in this direction. The wind is blowing you over here. And yet you could end up way over here in an instant. Because the impossible can happen. Our mind says, looks like I'm just going to have to handle this. And I'm going to end up over here. And God says, why are you doubting? I had you over here all the time. Just you had to go via this way first. Something to learn. God, have you ever thought God may use the storm to enable you to do something extraordinary? Sometimes, if you read through some of the great hymn writers, they went through great trials in their life of losing family members, and God using those times to get them to a point where they focus more on Him, and they become sold out to Him, and they write great hymns. They go on to be great preachers. They go on to do great things for God after the storm. And I want you to consider that. You may be going through a storm right now, but imagine the extraordinary things that God may do with you because you're going through that storm. I want you to understand that God's great power and greatness, when Jesus healed, when Jesus calmed the storm, and back in Matthew, when Jesus got in the boat, the storm ceased. To me, that shows great power. Jesus really is in control of everything. Even though it seems like he's not there, even though it's like he's taking his hands off, he's always been in control and can control the circumstances no matter what time of day it is, no matter where you are within that storm, whatever process the Lord has taken you in, God is always in control of that storm. That shows his great power and his greatness. Imagine this. The Bible described in Mark, there's a simple little phrase in verse 36. It says, when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And the Bible says there, and there were also with him other little ships. Simple little thought we don't often think about. But there were others involved within this storm. And when Jesus calmed the storm, have a guess what? Not only were the disciples saved, but everyone else on that ocean at that time, or on that sea at that time, were benefited as well. I understand that when we think about the storms, God's power and greatness still is saving the lives of people today. Others were affected. And as you go through the storm, you don't know what God's going to do with the testimony of your life as you share it with other people. God was interested in saving lives back then, and he's still interested in saving lives today. Some of the greatest testimonies of people who have been converted or had gone through something is the fact that they actually went through it and they come through on the other side, and they can reference and give God the praise and the glory for it. And sometimes those greatest testimonies are the things that God uses to convict and encourage those that are not saved and are going through storms as well. Storms of life can be a great testimony of, even if it's a drastic storm where you've lost a loved one or something's happened where it seems like, why has this happened? And as you share it, the greatness and power of God can still save and transform a life today. The Bible says in Mark chapter 4, verse 41, it says, and they feared exceedingly. I will go back to verse 40. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Verse 41, and they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Not only are people being saved, but people in our lives are being touched to the fact that they really see God's hand of greatness and power at hand, firsthand. And in Matthew 14, verse 33, it says the Bible says that the people started worshiping him. Wow. The storms that we go through are ultimately for God's greatness and power and glory. Look, you think about that. A very seemingly hard and painful thing that we're going through has many benefits. Not only do we get, not only do we learn something from it, not only do other people be influenced, but God ultimately gets the glory and the praise from it not because of us, but because of what he is doing and what he has done. Isn't God good that he can take such a hard thing and a storm and a life-threatening thing? And for these guys, they were fearful for their lives, or where Peter was drowning, Lord, save me, help me. I don't know what to do. Why is this happening? And yet ultimately, not only were they spared, not only did they learn something, but ultimately God gets the praise and the glory for it. Wow. Storms seem like bad things, but when you think of the power of a hurricane or a cyclone, even though it seems devastating, but when you look at it from afar, you think, wow, that's impressive. That's amazing that much storm can do so much. And God's power and greatness can do so much in people's lives if we let it. Thought number four, and we're coming to a conclusion. Thought number four, storms come to bring about change. I thought about some practical things about storms. You think about it, a storm comes along, it doesn't have to be a hurricane or whatever, it can be just be a big storm. It doesn't have to be on the ocean, it can be anywhere. And then for some places, I can't remember if I read it or heard it, someone mentioned this the other day, but when storm comes, some parts of the land or country can be in drought. When the storm comes, it ends the drought. It actually replenishes the earth. It helps those that are in need. It ends a cycle of dryness. And sometimes when the storms comes in our life, it can end a dryness in our life. Maybe God may bring the storm just to get you to a point where there's some thought processes that need to be readjusted. Our focus has been on something else, and God, not being mean at all, just wants to bring that storm to realign that focus. Where are you going? What is really important to you? When that drought ends, the land becomes fruitful again. And I wonder if the storm that you may be in right now, even myself, I wonder if God really wants to bring some fruitfulness back into our lives. Maybe your Christian life has been maybe just struggling a little bit. Maybe it's waned a little bit, and God wants to bring a storm in there to end that drought, bring fruitfulness back in your life. I want you to think about how a storm can sometimes, it can clear debris away. As water floods through, I think about the floods in Brisbane. I was thinking about that within a storm, and it seems to just come through at a great pace, washes things away. It knocks down trees, it knocks down buildings, it knocks down shrubs, it knocks down everything that's then in its path. But ultimately, when it all goes down and everyone cleans everything up, all the loose rubbish is now gone. It just cleanses the debris. The wind blows stuff away that maybe shouldn't be there. And sometimes we don't think about that. All we're focused on is, how am I going to get out of this? What's the answer to this problem? Why is this storm so great in my life? And yet God may be just bringing through, just ending the drought, becoming fruitful, clearing away things that just shouldn't be there in our lives, clearing the debris. Sometimes storms can bring a focus on what is important in life. I know more maybe in the US when they have tornadoes come through, and you see on the news the devastation. A tornado comes down and rips through a town, and houses have been demolished and cars have been overturned, and you see the distress in people's lives, and yet they think houses they're just a physical thing, and our loved ones are still alive. We still have each other, and we can rebuild, and we can do different things. Storms can be very devastating, but they help us refocus on what's important. Understand, guys, our physical lives, the things that we have, they're only temporal. I think about my business. I mean, it's to me, it's not a get-rich thing. It's a means to an end. I don't earn a lot of money off it at the moment. It's meeting my needs quite adequately. And it gives me the flexibility of feeling the Lord wants me to have. But ultimately, it's just a physical thing. What is important is eternity and lost people and brethren being encouraged. And storms help us refocus on that, shows us what is important. And I guess I've already kind of mentioned it, but storms allow a time of renewal, of rebuilding. As I think about a flood or a big storm, if it washes things away or blows down houses, and it gives people an opportunity after they've reflected, after they've seen the debris being cleared and they've refocused, they now have an opportunity to rebuild. Start again. Maybe bigger and better. An opportunity to maybe even move. The house is gone. Well, let's find out what we're supposed to do. And sometimes the storms of life can do that to us. They can knock a few things down. They can shake us and they can rattle us. And then when it's all done, when God seems to bring us through, God says, see those things there that I didn't want you to have, you've now been stripped of them. Sometimes we hold on to things so much when God says, I want you to get rid of that, and we won't. Sometimes God says, hey, this is for your good. You need to go through this storm, And we're going to wash that away, and I'm going to shake that a little bit so you let go of it. And then when it's all done, we go, okay, Lord, now what do you want? And sometimes it's a time where we can refocus and rebuild. Sometimes churches go through periods like that. It seems like, wow, why is this bad stuff happening at church? Why is there so much negativity? What is going on? I think our church has gone through that a couple of times over the years. They're at our Good Shepherd. I've been there nearly 15 years now. And there have been a couple of really hard times where storms have come through and situations have happened and you think, how's the church going to cope with this? What's going to happen? Our natural human instincts go, what's going to happen? What's going to be the end result? And guess what? We're still there. Church is still growing. People are still actually getting saved. We had a lady, the Wednesday before. First time visitor. It was crazy. Had a young guy bring a young lady. They weren't a couple. And first time I've ever seen him. I think might have been there once before, maybe. That was his second visit. He brought someone along, and she got saved. Wanted to find out more. And we're like, praise the Lord. Things are still happening. People are still getting saved. People are getting baptized. Sounds like you're going to have a baptism this afternoon. Praise the Lord. People being obedient, stepping out, doing what God wants them to do. Churches can go through periods of storms. And sometimes it's God just shaking things up a little bit. But you do know what I found? Sometimes the storms within the church were people related. There were people who had been disgruntled, made waves, made issues. And guess what? At the end of the storm, those people were gone. God seemed to shake the tree a little bit. It's like they were hanging on and they finally fell off. Sometimes they pulled a few branches off with them as they went. But it was time to refocus, rebuild. Maybe a ministry was gone and maybe a ministry leader left because they were affected by the people that were causing problems. Every church has them. Man, still remember there was one family in particular. I don't know how or what, but they started teaching some weird stuff, and the lady within the couple was the main instigator. And she was getting amongst the women of the church. And the women would come to the men of the church and say, guess what so-and-so told us? And it was the weirdest thing. On the one Saturday afternoon, pastor got a call from all the husbands and said, pastor, this is what's being taught. And like, whoa, got dealt with. They left. Problem eradicated. It could have been a huge storm. Many ladies within the church were being influenced by what this lady was saying. And it was just weird. Weird. So storms come, storms will go, but the Lord allows them. Even though we don't like them when they happen, rest assured God is always near and ready to help when it's needed. He allows storms to bring us to a point to see that we can't and that he can, and that we actually come out better than before the storm began. Believe it or not, storms are actually a good thing, and they're only often realized once the storm ceases and we see the end results. So if you're going through a storm today, and I don't know much about the lives of everybody here, whatever you're going through, whatever might be causing you some fear and unsurety of what's going to happen, believe the Bible says that God is always near and that he will help you and that he will get you through the other side. And ultimately, and I believe this firmly, you will be better off once you get through it. You may be missing a few things that you thought were dear to you. You may be, the current may take you to another part of the church or even another ministry within the church. It may take you to a different job or whatever it is. Ultimately, understand that God has allowed that for your own good. And what you do within that storm is of utmost importance. It's hard to handle. It's hard to know. It's hard to submit and say, okay, God, whatever you want in this, because we naturally just want to fight and try and find an answer and fix it and stop the storm. But sometimes the best thing is to hands off and say, God, okay, this is going to be painful. And this is all I can do with this possible lawsuit. All I can just say, God, I've prayed about it. I know I've done nothing wrong. This is totally in your hands. And whatever journey I've got to go on, maybe I've got to learn something. Maybe I've got to learn more compassion. Maybe I don't know what I've got to learn, but maybe at the end of it, I'll be able to look back and go, hated that process. I didn't want to go through it. I screamed like a little girl inside and thought, why is this happening? That's really what happened first. I thought, I'm supposed to be doing this for the right reason. And within the first 6 months, it's like, what are you doing, God? Why? Nothing I can do. Got to go through it and see how God works at the end. Let's pray. Thank you for allowing me to be transparent today. And I hope that was a blessing. I hope God's used it to encourage you wherever you're at. Dear Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for how you helped the disciples. Thank you for showing them so much. And thank you for recording it so we can read it today and learn from it. Please use the verses that we've looked at. Please use the circumstances of life to bring us to a place where we can be better for you. We can be growing and be exactly where you want us to be. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.